All right.
Hello?
Yep, I'm with you. I was just listening to something else somebody else was saying in the studio. So I appreciate you being you're pretty bearish the marketplace, yeah.
We're bearish the beans big time. We have been since really.
So they were down.
We are very, very strong and opinionated as far as getting rid of old crop in December, going into January. February 9th through the 13th, we did a series of marketing seminars up through Minnesota and beating the table. Got to get rid of this stuff, got to get rid of it, especially old crop corn, old crop beans, new crop beans, get them marketed in. If there is any one of the major commodities right now, what has the most promise? New crop corn. I mean, but gee whiz, you know, I'm sitting here thinking as I'm listening to Pete and Chuck and Dan, and that is the fact that, you know, what if we have dry weather? Well, we've seen genetics perform in corn on dry weather. In last year's testimony, what if we have wet weather? Well, we had a major flood, and we still produced a big crop.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's the thing. It's just a dark gray cloud. Is that stupid wheat? I mean, look at 700 million bushels of wheat, and what are we going to do with it? And it's still kind of a dark gray cloud hanging over the corn.
Well, you're going to feed it.
Maybe exactly.
The globe's going to feed it. The rest of the globe will feed it. That's, sometimes I'm not certain that we often think about wheat as a primary feed for livestock around the world, but certainly it is.
It is. South Korea definitely, you know, we completely missed them early in the first half of the marketing year. South Korea is buying feed wheat from Ukraine, from Russia, and there's still quite a bit of it in southeastern Australia that still hasn't even hit the market. But yeah, 2 years ago we only fed 60 million bushels of wheat. Well, we have a big crop. We raised the feed usage here in the United States to 260 million bushel.
Right.
And globally, and this is the one I thought was pretty crazy, globally, wheat for feed use for the 2008-2009 marketing year globally increased to a record level, up 30% in 1 year. Corn for feed use went down about 2.6%, but feed wheat usage for this present marketing year up 30% year on year. So the world is feeding it. You just got to get rid of it.
It's feeding it, and we still have a glut of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get a look at that number from Ukraine on the last USDA report? I think it was up 86% from the previous crop year was projection for this year. I don't quote me on that. I'd have to go back and look, but that seems to stick in my mind that number was there. But it was a big number.
It was. And again, they've had a series of weather-related problems, and they are starting to become more of a force in Russia. Russia's doing some very unique things right now. I don't know if you heard about 2 months ago, there was an attaché report that came out for Russia suggesting that they are implementing plans that they want to be the world's major power in exports and essentially going back to a more socialistic type of regime where they want to buy at least 50% of all the annual grain produced, and that the government would end up marketing that. Almost sounds a little bit like Argentina, but that's the kind of stuff that is just absolutely ridiculous. I think Russia. Go ahead.
So they think they can pull that off simply because land, while it's been transferred into private hands,
right,
has been transferred into private hands at 10 acres at a time,
right,
as opposed to hundreds or thousands of acres in parcels. Because to the best of my knowledge, neither Russian nor Ukrainians have been able to sell the property that they now own. They don't have enough to make a living on, I assume, although they might if the global economy keeps falling apart.
Well, you had an independent group called Black Earth Farming that went into Russia and is making big strides, and I think the Russian government saw that and said, hey, another situation where an outside company is coming in, mining our natural resources, taking advantage of the situation, and it's not that difficult, but I think what Russia is doing is looking at where a year ago when they had dry weather and they did not have the stocks available to take advantage of that big grain rally in late 2007, early 2008, They said, we can't afford to do that again, so let's go ahead and build more storage facilities, more port facilities. They already contacted, the Russian government already contacted the six major exporters within Russia and said, here's your chance. Buy into the stock right now. It's going to be an investment company. Buy into the stock right now or you're going to get mowed over. But I'm thinking to myself, gee whiz, so much for creative, you know, the opportunity to try to be creative and aggressive and make money. Russia's completely taken a huge step backwards, and, you know, like you said, it sounds almost like another repeat performance of what Argentina's government is trying to do.
Well, they'd have to invest in infrastructure, though, in order to pull it off. I think it's gone. I mean, the infrastructure they had has disappeared. I can't imagine they could build it fast enough.
This would take, I'd probably guess maybe 5-10 years before it's completely done with, but...
When the government takes over anything, though, does it ever work out versus private?
Exactly.
It just destroys it, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying, Pete. That's what I'm saying is that, you know, when Russia started to free up and saying, hey, here's an opportunity, the incentive to work hard and think hard and prosper. And when the government takes back over, what the hell's it going to do to the country? I think you go right back into the Stone Age.
Yeah, I agree with that part. Look at our country when the government takes over.
Exactly. Well put.
You know what I found, and I traveled in Ukraine for not very long, but what I think I saw for the most part, and while they were desperately poor, was that, they hadn't at that time been able to get past the communism regime that basically had a plan for everything. So, you know, it was this nut goes here, you twist it four times, and that's what you do.
Right.
If you don't have the ranch, it sits there because somebody else has the ranch
right. But the problem I saw was that I was there just a bit more than a decade after the fall, and they hadn't yet instilled the entrepreneurship that is prevalent in the United States and other places that tend, in the Western world at least, that tend to do capitalistically well. And I'm wondering if that just hasn't happened, and so they're falling back on their old ways because they don't have entrepreneurs or haven't developed entrepreneurs yet that have been able to really get in and take over properties. For instance, I can't imagine the black soils that are in Ukraine have
in the world.
Yeah, that they haven't really... Well, they're up 86% this year, and maybe that's where they're starting to tap into them. They hadn't really been tapped into 10 years after the fall. And, boy, if things were happening here, given the technology and the ability to move seeds and just even machinery into those areas, you would think that they would start to spring forward quickly. Their big problem there was that they didn't allow people to sell their property. They gave it to them, and then they locked it down.
Well, good to hear you. To see you down the road.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
All right. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I use this for the weekend newsletter?
Definitely. Yeah,
okay.
Please do.
Yep. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.